Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to a new series that I think is going to be incredible for your life. It's called The Gospel of the Kingdom. You know what? There's so much confusion about what the gospel is. There's so much confusion about how to understand the Bible. And one of the reasons there is so much confusion is because the Bible clearly tells us that if we can't understand these parables about the kingdom, we can't understand anything else that Jesus taught about. And when we grasp the gospel of the kingdom, suddenly all the pieces of the puzzle start coming together. And I want you to know this series is going to be edifying. It's going to be encouraging. Yes, it's going to have some warnings. It's going to have some instruction in it. But it's going to be something that's going to help you bring everything you know about God together around the concept that Jesus, Paul, and every other New Testament minister brought to us. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And I tell you, you can get this message in its entirety at www.impactministries.com. You know, Jesus said that we, if we believed on him, that we should be able to do the same things that he could do. I'll tell you what, everybody I know for my whole Christian life has sought to have the same kind of results from the message that they preached that Jesus had from the message that he preached. Well, you know what I've come to understand? The problem is we're not preaching the same message that he preached. In this 6-CD series, The Gospel of the Kingdom, I'm going to introduce you to the message that Jesus preached and the results that he got. Man, I tell you, when I just say the words, Gospel of the Kingdom, something inside me just stirs up, something gets excited, and I'm telling you, before you're finished with this series, the lights are going to come on for you, and you're going to be able to take everything you know about God and bring it together in a way that finally makes sense. You know, there is just so much confusion out there today. There's so much confusing doctrine out there. There's so many extremes of doctrine out there, and it's almost like people have hopscotched through the Bible, just kind of picking up a little bit of this, picking up a little bit of that, picking up a little bit of this, and just trying to paste together these doctrines, and there's no connection, and you can't read the Bible sometimes and even make sense out of it. You know, Paul talked, when he was talking about in the book of Acts about the Bereans and how noble they were with the word of God, and he compared them to another group of people, which I can't remember right off the top of my head what that group was, but in the Greek, he called these people seed pickers. In other words, they were like birds that just went out and just picked up a seed here, picked up a seed there, picked up a seed here, picked up a seed there. But at the end of the day, they have no means to connect the dots. And you know, it is no wonder that people stop reading the Bible. It is no wonder that people sit down and just let preachers define everything and tell them what they're supposed to believe. Because if you do not understand the gospel of the kingdom, you cannot bring all of these things together under one all-encompassing set of truth, if you will. You know, Matthew 4:23, it tells us that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Now, the first thing I want to point out is this. I am seeing these Facebook posts about Jesus. He was a teacher of the law. Jesus only spoke to the lost sheep of Israel, and we're supposed to be listening to Paul. I'm listening to this. I can't even believe it. I mean, it's like, wait a minute. You're telling me that I can't listen to the teachings of Jesus? What in the world is up with that? And then as I read these posts about Jesus' teaching and why we can't listen to it, I realize that as well-intentioned as they may be, they're deeply confused about what Jesus preached. Jesus wasn't a preacher of the law. He wasn't, and by the way, his words weren't just for the lost sheep of Israel, because he did tell his disciples to go out and to teach the whole world everything that he had taught. But the truth is, Jesus was a preacher of the gospel of the kingdom of God. I mean, nearly all of his parables were parables of the kingdom of God. And when he went in and worked miracles, he worked miracles because he introduced people to the good news. And that's what the word gospel means, the good news about the kingdom of God. So first thing you want to understand is that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, his teaching is the foundation of how we are to understand everything that the Bible has taught us up to that point, and everything that Paul and Peter and James and John, everything they all taught was based on the entire Word of God, understanding it from the life and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if you're unstable about the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be unstable about everything else in the New Testament. I'll never forget one time, it was, oh man, easily 30 years ago, I was sitting in a meeting with, listening to a preacher that I really, really respected. Loved the guy. He had a great influence on my life. And he was saying, now, if you really want to understand the truth, you need to read the epistles. And I'm sitting there writing this note, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and just said, that is absolutely not true. And I'm like, well, this man knows more than I do. What am I thinking? Where's this coming from? And I tell you, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that if we ever leave the Gospels, and if we ever move away from our understanding of the Gospels, that we can twist the epistles to say almost anything we want them to say. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Peter, he warned about people who were twisting Paul's complicated teaching to their own destruction. And I tell you, that's happening in the world today. At a time when we need to understand what Paul was teaching, at a time that we need to understand the grace of God more than any other time in history, people have twisted Paul's teachings, twisted the message of grace into something that is not even biblical, something that rejects the teaching of the Lord Jesus, something that rejects all of God's word prior to the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you what, we are in a mess on what we believe. But I'm going to tell you this, that's one of the reasons we're not getting the same results that Jesus got. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, and then he healed the sick. He ministered to people. Well, I want to tell you something. If we're not getting the same results Jesus got, we might need to go back and check what we're preaching. We might need to go back and see if we're actually believing what Jesus taught and conveying what Jesus taught so we can get the same results that Jesus did. He wasn't a preacher of legalism. He was a preacher of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, when Jesus came on the scene, it was the gospel of the kingdom. It was that message that announced his coming. In Mark 1:14, it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, you start seeing the importance of the gospel of the kingdom because you start seeing, you know, even John the Baptist before Jesus revealed himself, even John the Baptist preached the kingdom of God is at hand, repent. Jesus comes on the scene and says, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent. Now, you say, well, I didn't think New Testament believers had to repent. Well, all the word repent means is change your mind. If you don't believe the truth, you've got to change your mind. I'm not talking about groveling. I'm not talking about begging God to do something. I'm not talking about feeling condemned. I'm not talking about whether you do or don't cry. I'm just talking about changing your mind. You see, if we come to Jesus and we accept him as Lord and we accept his teaching, we've got to change our minds about what we believe about God. Because any place that our life is not working, it's not working simply because we don't believe the truth about God in our hearts. And that means we've got to change our mind. In other words, we've got to repent. So John the Baptist preached it when Jesus was getting ready to come. Jesus preached it as a precursor to him revealing himself. And then whenever he began to preach and teach, that's what he taught was the parables of the kingdom. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And then the Bible even tells us that this is the message that Paul preached to both the Jews and the Gentiles. In Acts 19:8, Paul says that it says that he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And then in Acts 20:25, it says, "And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God," and he talks about how he didn't hold anything back. So both the Jews and the Gentiles, the message that they received from the Apostle Paul was the message of the kingdom of God. And in fact, the Bible tells us that this is the message that will be preached into all the world to prepare for the second coming of Jesus. Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come." You see, it's amazing what we think we should be preaching. It's amazing what is being preached to the world. You know, I've said this to you before. I don't want to sound egotistical, but these are just facts. In the 1980s and the 1990s, there were only three of us preaching the message of grace on a national level. Andrew Womack, another man that was a dear friend of mine, and the only reason I don't mention him is because I don't want to disrespect him in any way, and then myself. We were the only three people preaching grace on a national level. I was the only one preaching grace on an international level. So basically, we were the pioneers of the grace movement. I'm not saying that other people weren't preaching grace, but I'm saying basically most of the people in America that have been exposed to the grace message, and many of the people around the world were exposed to the grace message through one of the three of us. Now, so what I'm about to say here sounds contradictory, because I believe the message of grace is so incredibly important for the time in which we live. But I listen to people talk about the gospel of grace. The gospel is not the gospel of grace. The gospel, you know, there's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the gospel of peace. There's the gospel of the kingdom. There is one vague reference to the gospel of the grace of God, the good news about the grace of God. But see, we have reached a place in our concepts of grace where we've stopped defining grace the way the Bible starts defining grace, and we've tried to make everything in the New Testament about grace. Well, I'll tell you, that's what cults do. Cults have to make everything say what they want it to say. We are not called to preach the gospel of grace. I mean, yes, we need to teach people about grace, just like we need to teach people about faith righteousness, just like we need to teach people about the gospel of peace and the covenant of peace. But the real truth is, all of those things come together under the unifying, encompassing concept of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And until we come to that place where we organize our doctrine around the gospel of the kingdom, the truth is our doctrine will always be skewed. And in fact, this gospel of the kingdom, not only is it all encompassing, but it is in fact the message whereby we should learn to manage and direct our lives. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said it. And I don't know about you, I trust the teaching of Jesus. I trust his teaching more than anything in the Bible. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you." Listen, if Jesus says this is the priority, then grace isn't the priority. Faith righteousness isn't the priority. The gospel peace isn't the priority. All of those are like spokes in a wheel, and they all attach to the hub, and they make the wheel round, if you know what I'm saying. But they are not the hub. They are not, none of them are all encompassing. Whenever you begin to emphasize faith righteousness to an extreme, you lose the concept of what righteousness really is and how righteousness really works on your life, and it just becomes a position that you hold. When you make everything about grace, you take it to an extreme to where it is no longer something that empowers you to walk with God and to fulfill your destiny. It becomes a replacement for having a relationship with Jesus. It's the same way with everything else, with miracles, with healing, with deliverance. Let me tell you something. I have spent the last 40 years watching the church take sound biblical doctrine and try to make that doctrine the gospel. Try to make that doctrine the hub. And every time it happens, it always shipwrecks people all over the world. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are destroyed by truth that is taken too far, by truth that is exaggerated, by truth that becomes a replacement for an intimate relationship with God. See, failure to grasp the gospel of the kingdom actually affects our understanding of everything else. Matthew 13:19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So, and then Jesus even said, in relationship to that same parable, he says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any of the parables? See, the problem with Jesus' teaching is we can't twist it to make it say what we want it to say, so we reject it. We put it into a dispensation mode. I tell you, teachings of, you know, there is a concept of dispensation within the Bible. But, you know, people talk about there was this dispensation and then that ended, and this dispensation and that ended, and this dispensation and that ended. Let me tell you something. God has never changed from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, to the New Testament and the New Covenant. God has never changed. And when it looks like there's inconsistencies in God, when it looks like there's inconsistency in anything God says, we are the ones who do not understand. And that's the problem with the messages that are being preached today. We don't understand the gospel of the kingdom of God. We don't understand Jesus' teaching, and that's how we end up in so many of the extremes that they're in the Bible, but they get us in trouble. They get us shipwrecked. You know, in the Bible, you will see that there is two terminologies that are used almost interchangeably. One is called the kingdom of God. The other is called the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we read about the kingdom of heaven, the tendency is to think that it's talking about how we get to heaven. Therefore, we turn Jesus' parables into a works righteousness. We turn it into a way to earn our way into heaven. And I believe that's why many people who are trying to grasp grace reject the teachings of the Lord Jesus. They think they're legalistic. They're not legalistic at all. Because you see, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, one talks about a realm that we enter into. And as best I remember, it's the kingdom of God that talks about the realm. But then the kingdom of heaven, according to some Jewish scholars, refers to the resources that are available to us in that realm. So the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is talking to us about how we enter this realm and how we access and partake in the resources that are there available for us in that realm. Now, Jesus told us that there were teachers, scribes and Pharisees, in fact, that kept people from entering the kingdom. As a matter of fact, he said, you shut up or close up the kingdom to people, make it impossible for them to enter, and you don't even enter yourself. Now, I want to tell you something. The Bible tells us to be followers of those who by faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, one of the problems is we can't tell what's going on in the lives of people. You know, today, anybody can look like a phenomenal success on the internet. Anybody can look like they've got an international ministry on the internet because it's all how it's packaged. It's all about having a good web page. Anybody can really get a good following on Facebook. But that tells me nothing about how that person lives. You know, I want to follow people who are inheriting the kingdom of God, people who are inheriting all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. I want to be a follower. I want to learn from people that really have it working in their life, not just people who have a bunch of clever information and clever doctrines that sound witty and sound deep and sound spiritual, but at the end of the day, they leave me powerless. Because remember, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. It's not just in teaching a bunch of cool-sounding doctrines. It's not about impressing people with how much you know. It's not about how deep you can get. It's whether or not you can produce results first and foremost in your own life and then in the lives of the people who listen to themselves. You see, so we got to ask ourselves some questions. Who is keeping us from entering the kingdom realm, that realm where it's the realm where God reigns and rules, and that realm where God's resources are available. So the kingdom, when I talk about the kingdom, I'm talking about the realm and I'm talking about the resources. Well, you know, Jesus identified the legalist. The legalist, if you listen to legalists, you will never, ever, ever, ever be able to inherit the kingdom of God. And we're going to be talking about this because the Bible is very clear about obstructions to being able to inherit. It didn't see people who don't understand what legalism really is, they read scriptures like that and they think it's talking about law. Paul said there are things that we can do and there's things that we can believe that make it impossible for us to inherit the kingdom, the realm and the resources that God has for us. So if we involve ourselves in legalism, we will never, ever, ever be able to participate. Doesn't mean we're not saved. Doesn't mean our sins haven't been forgiven. It just means that in this life, we are living a limited life on limited resources with limited intimacy and leadership from God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Well, then the next person that could influence you to not be able to inherit the kingdom realm and the kingdom resources is any message that makes you feel that compromise is acceptable. And sadly, that's one of the things that's being taught today in the name of grace, is that everything's mystical and how you live really, really doesn't matter. Well, Paul made it very, very clear. John made it very, very clear. Jesus made it very, very clear. We're not talking about whether or not you're forgiven, whether or not you're on your way to heaven. We're talking about whether or not you can enter this kingdom realm and participate in kingdom resources. And it's not works, you're not earning it, it's all about how it affects your heart. But mostly you want to understand you are the main one that can keep yourself from participating in the kingdom realm and the kingdom resources. Because the truth is, part of the gospel of the kingdom to the individual believers was that nobody can shut you out. The priest can't shut you out, the king can't shut you out, the prophets can't shut you out. The scribes can't shut you out. Nobody can shut you out because all of the parables of the kingdom taught personal responsibility. They taught that it is up to us to individually connect with God for ourselves and thereby participate in the kingdom. Nobody could take it away from you. That's part of the good news. Now, I'll tell you, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about inheriting the provision of the kingdom of God. And see, this gets into the Zoe of God, because the word Zoe has to do with quality of life. Well, quality of life gets into resources. And I'm not talking about just things. I'm not talking about just external things. I'm talking about internal resources, strength, ability, capacity, as well as some of the natural resources that we need. Because if we seek first the kingdom of God, all of these things that everybody else worries about, all of these provisions that other people are trying to find a way to get with their faith or earn with their obedience, we inherit those things. And an inheritance is something somebody else worked for, but it is given to you freely. And I'll tell you something, God's got an incredible inheritance for you. And this is not complicated. It's not really hard to figure out. It's not going to be difficult, but it's just going to be a matter of sitting down and grasping some basic truths. And from those truths, you interpret everything else that you believe and you bring it in line with the kingdom teaching. So, you know, I want to help you enter into a realm, into a quality of living that's beyond your strength, beyond your ability, beyond your power, and even beyond your individual faith. So we're going to be talking about the gospel of the kingdom. We're going to be talking about the parables of the kingdom. We're going to be talking about inheriting the kingdom. We're going to talk about things that inhibit the kingdom. But more than anything else, today I want you to realize that as a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the right to enter into the kingdom realm, and you have the right to participate in the kingdom resources. But remember this, the right is the authority to do it. Even though it's freely given, it does not mean that you have entered in and participated. You see, you can be saved, you can be born again, you can be on your way to heaven, but here in this earth, you can be far from the kingdom realm. Listen, come back with me in my mentoring moment. I'm going to share some basic principles with you. You know, I'm always looking for ways to get new tools, new resources to all of the people who enjoy what we share. I'm always looking for ways to encourage you. I'm always looking for ways to build you up. And one of the very best ways to do this is to get our new mobile app. I tell you, our new mobile app makes it possible for you to get everything that we have on a regular basis. Plus, we have some things that we're going to be releasing in August that are going to be free. Some programs are going to be free just to people who have our mobile app. So I want to make sure you get it, because I'm telling you, you can get my blogs, you can get my Facebook posts, you can get the series that you're seeing on television. You can get everything that we have right there on your mobile phone. And the great thing about this, you can make sure that your husband, your wife, your kids, everybody in your family has their own app. And then that way, everybody is receiving the encouraging word that's going to build them up and strengthen them. Be sure and check out all the information about this new series, The Gospel of the Kingdom. You can go to my website, impactministries.com, and you can just click on the rotator and it will take you to the place where you can read more about this series. This is going to transform your life. It's going to put you in touch with the message that Jesus preached and the kinds of results that Jesus got. I don't know of many things that's going to help bring your faith together under one concept more than the gospel of the kingdom. You know, one of the things that seems to be so missing from this generation is the concept of priority. You see, truth that is taken out of priority, even though it's still truth, it's no longer true. You know, when Jesus came to planet Earth, he came and he brought us grace and truth. Now, he didn't bring us new truth, but what he did is he took what was true, which was everything God had ever said, and he showed us really how it was supposed to be understood. He modeled it, and he brought it back to priority, and he made love the priority of everything that God said. So, you know, if you take love out of your top priorities, then everything you know about God gets skewed. Well, in the kingdom of God, there are certain priorities that we have to understand. There are laws of the kingdom. The first and most important law of the kingdom is the fact that every kingdom has a king. And you only make yourself able to access the full benefits of kingdom living when you are fully submitted to the king. We don't understand kingship in our democracy here in the United States. And most countries that have a democracy don't understand kingship. And so we really try to relate to God and the kingdom of God as if it's a democracy and we're going to vote on things. But you also have to realize that the next most important thing about the kingdom of God is that it can only be accessed internally. There is no way from the outside that you can access the kingdom. Jesus said that the kingdom is within you. So until we know how to connect with God in our heart, the real truth is we're not entering the kingdom, no matter what our doctrine says or no matter what we're making happen out around us. Third, the kingdom has laws. Now, I'm not saying legalism, I'm saying laws. There are laws that govern kingdom living. And when we enter into a kingdom and when we become citizens of a kingdom, we submit ourselves to those laws. And then last, because we are yielding to, we're not earning. See, submitting to these laws doesn't mean we're earning something. It means we're putting ourselves in the position of inheritance. Then the kingdom has provision. And because the kingdom has provision, because we're submitted to the king, we've entered into our heart, because we understand how to walk in the kingdom, we share in the inheritance.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.